You're listening to Stateside. I'm Laura Weber Davis, in for April Baer. This week, we've spent some time talking about how to cope with uncertainty and isolation in these strange times we're living in. My next guest has had to think about this for many years. 2 years ago, she wrote an article on Medium, and she said, quote, "When my mother died 10 years ago this week, one of the hardest things in the world for me to do, starting almost immediately, was finding reasons to get out of bed. And finally, a phrase falls into my mind. You can breathe. You can feel the wind on your face. You can process thoughts. You have everything you need to survive." I repeated those words to myself until I was out of bed and on my feet. End quote. Joining me now is Candace Fortman. She's with Outlier Media in Detroit. Candace, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. How are you?
I am mostly okay. I'm repeating that phrase a lot these days. I'm sure like most of your listeners, I feel an increased amount of anxiety. And most of that is not for myself, as I'm in my house. I mostly don't have to leave. I can work from home. But for my community, for my friends and their family members, and for our country and world as a whole.
So I wanted to ask you more. You and I have talked a lot about loss and family and what it looks like in your life. You have a very close-knit circle of girlfriends.
Yes.
Which is lucky, because not all of us have a lot of close friends. But tell me more about your biological family and your mother. Tell me about Peaches.
Yes, my mom, Peaches, better known to the community as Peaches, but born Wendy. My mom was an incredible human being. And we grew up in a family where she had two sisters, her mom and dad, and then me. I was the only grandchild. And there were definitely points in my life where we all lived in the same house together, a very small house. I think about that a lot right now. Yeah. And how we survived in that house together. But I grew up in a family where everyone raised me. My mother was my mother indeed, but my grandmother was just as much my mother. My grandfather was my father by every account. And my aunts feel a lot like sisters, more so than they do aunts. Probably at this point, it angers them that I feel that way. But it was an incredibly close family. And when you're that small, you depend on each other and you know things about each other and you grow up together in this very interesting way. And the same thing for the community that I grew up in. My godmother lived one door down. Everybody on that street was an uncle or an aunt in some way, not necessarily through blood, right? But through the bonds that we share when we help raise one another, when we help to create family in different ways.
So your grandparents were both alive when your mother passed away and
right.
lived through probably just one of the worst circumstances imaginable, losing a child. How did they handle the loss of your mother?
My grandfather, as he was in most things in life, was very quiet about it. I don't know if he ever really talked about it. My grandmother would tell me that the only time she ever saw my grandfather cry outside of my senior penny when I graduated from high school was when his mother died. He was not a person that showed a lot of emotion in that way.
It's like the World War II veteran.
That's right. World War II veteran, grew up in the Jim Crow South as a black man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He had just experienced, I think, in so much trauma in so many ways that he just processed emotions very differently than myself or my grandmother or anyone else in our family did. And we made a lot of space for that. He wasn't cruel at all. He just wasn't forward facing in his emotion. My grandmother, on the other hand, never really recovered from my mother's death. It was an immediate physical reaction for her. She was diagnosed, she had a stroke maybe 3 months later and had subsequent strokes after that. And from there, her health just deteriorated. The day my mother died, my grandmother was a completely healthy, vibrant 81-year-old woman. And I think the day after, we started to see her go down. And she passed about 18 months later.
Hmm. So your grandfather, as you said, was also like a father to you, and he died a few years ago as well. What was that like with all three of them gone, this family unit? Was it just a complete shedding of a chapter in your life? How did you process the loss of your grandfather?
So at the point where my grandfather passed away, he had moved into my home because I didn't want him to be alone. And so he moved into my house about maybe about 9 months before he passed away. And we were having a great time. He was the best roommate I could have asked for. He was funny, and we ate dinner at weird times, like 3 p.m. And we went out to dinner a lot. We got the senior discount, which was nice. We genuinely like really enjoyed each other's company. I tell people all the time, my grandfather was my grandfather. He was my father, but more importantly, he was my absolute best friend. He was the best friend I've ever had in my life. And so when my grandfather passed, you know, these three people who, you know, really defined who I was, who made me the person that I am today, losing all three of them within, it happened in 4 years. So from my mother's death to my grandfather's death, it was 4 years. And by the time I got to my grandfather, I just had to completely fall apart. And I did. And I was fortunate in those friends that you talked about. They were incredible to me, and not just them, but their families were incredible. And so I had to lean on a lot of people. I had to do a lot of praying, a lot of therapy. And I also had to decide that at that point, I was going to be starting a new chapter of my life. And that chapter was going to be the life that I built past my family being here. And I have learned that I had more fortitude than I ever could have imagined. And all of those things that they gave me have continued to keep me. A lot of lessons about how to, my grandmother, you know, always teaching me how to pray has been incredibly important to my life. My grandfather reminding me to save money for a rainy day is certainly important right now. And my mother's consistent support and love for community. She was a precinct delegate in Detroit. She was a Black Club president. And that sort of leadership is what I'm leaning on today, as I'm now the president of my Black Club and trying to help my neighbors navigate this, what is a new world that we're living in right now. I am leaning on the lessons that my mother taught me, and I'm still leaning on those lessons of my grandparents as well.
Do you think that your lessons learned throughout life from your mother, your grandmother, and your grandfather have in some ways prepared you with tools for this moment right now that we're living through?
Oh, goodness, in so many ways. But most importantly, as I'm watching people who may have never experienced grief, experience it for the first time, and in such a different way than how you would normally experience grief, there are no funeral services. I was telling a friend of mine that for me, the funerals, the celebrations of life, as many African Americans would call them, were sort of places that I could go to in my head to remember that not only did I love these people, but all of these other folks love this person. And so in those days where I felt lonely or removed from them, I could use that as motivation, right? And so the folks who are experiencing loss right now aren't getting that moment, right? And so I can understand why that might make things harder for them. I'm also a person who has experienced so much loss at this point that I'm really good at talking to folks who are going through it, because I can put my own stuff aside and my own fears aside. Often our friends aren't good at helping us go through loss because they haven't experienced it, and it's something they fear. And so they don't know how to comprehend your loss. If you've not lost a parent yet, it is really difficult to, you might have a lot of empathy for that person who's going through it, but it's really hard to process how to be helpful until you've had to unfortunately walk that road yourself. Mm-hmm. And as my Facebook feed now here in Detroit is filled with people who have lost fathers and mothers, uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters. And I feel a lot of ability to be able to reach out and really be a shoulder in this moment, in a way that I might not have been had I not experienced what I've experienced.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Candace Fortman of Outlier Media in Detroit. She wrote an article about how she coped with deep grief after her mother died 12 years ago. Can we talk a little bit about your mom's funeral?
Yeah.
I've talked to you about how cathartic of an experience it was for you. But
yeah.
one of the things you needed to get through it, because it was just something that you knew you had to, like a process you had to go through, but how are you going to survive something that seems so unsurvivable, was you didn't want music there.
Yeah. I grew up in a house where the moment that the people woke up, the radio came on. There was music playing in our house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everyone in the house was a music lover. And my mother in particular was not just a music lover. She was a life of a party. And, you know, I can hear her snap, her finger snapping in my ear so clearly even today. And so understanding that getting through that service was going to be one of the hardest things I had ever done. And I can tell you now, it is one of the hardest things I've ever done to this day. I did not know how I was going to make it. And so I knew that if people started singing, because there was such a spiritual connection to music, I don't think I could have sat through that service because my heart was just so broken. And so, you know, funny enough, the universe is hilarious. And we're sitting there, and there was a person who got up to the mic and started singing because they didn't notice that there was any, they noticed that there was no music on the program. So that person happened to be Martha Reeves of Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, because at the time she was on the Detroit City Council, who was presenting a proclamation for my mother's service to the city of Detroit. And one of my best friends reached over to me and said, "Do you want me to tell her to stop singing?" And I looked like, no, and just bust out laughing. And it was a moment where not only was there music, and I know that there were people in that room who needed it, there was also laughter that came out of nowhere. And then the next day I was in the kitchen. I could hear my cousin from Arkansas calling back home to talk to the family there. And she didn't know I was in the kitchen. And she said, "Oh my goodness, Candace really did put her mother away so beautifully. She even had celebrity singing at the funeral." And so, you know, every now and again, I think about that memory and I bust out laughing. And I think that only my mother could have set it up to make sure that a celebrity sang at her funeral, whether I wanted singing or not. She got what she wanted.
And that's the thing about funerals for me, as I've experienced them with family members, is they end up having these moments that you need to be able to process or get through in a human way, right? And some of it involves laughter, whether it's on memories that are being made or memories from previous years. And I, to your point about people not being able to have proper funerals right now, it is one of the most heartbreaking elements of what's going on over the entire world, let alone in Detroit or in the nation.
That's right. The lack of funeral services, and also the inability for us to go and comfort those families,
right,
to put our arms around them, to you know, bring pound cake and chicken to the house, as many African Americans with Southern roots would be doing right now for those who are experiencing loss.
Or to threaten to remove Martha Reeves from a funeral.
Or to threaten to remove Martha Reeves from a funeral. Absolutely. You know, those sort of those things that we do, those that for me. So also growing up with grandparents, unfortunately, I've also gone to a lot of funerals in my life because my grandparents' friends were much older. Right. And so I have been going to funerals all of my life. And so the ritual of death has been ingrained in my head. I know that if someone died, we're going to go to the house. We're going to bring a dish. We're going to sit there and fellowship with them. And then we will go to the wake and we'll go to the family hour and we'll go to the funeral. And all of those things are rituals, right? And the rituals are gone right now. And so what we'll have to do is find a way to support folks to find new rituals until they're able to celebrate their family members' lives in a way that they deem fit.
So as somebody who lives and breathes Detroit in the most visceral way, how are you feeling about the city right now? I feel like I can feel your grief for the city bearing down on you in a way that a few other people are able to express. How are you feeling right now about your city?
We've talked about grief this entire time, and I've not cried until you said that. I love this city tremendously, and I am incredibly worried about it. And I'm not worried just about the virus. I'm not worried just about the deaths we will experience and the people we have already lost and that we will lose who feel like the fabric of this place. But I am concerned about our ability to recover in so many ways after this. We already have residents that are struggling in so many ways, and this is a tremendous setback. I also know that this is a place of deep resilience and community support. So my faith is high that, you know, Detroit will find a way. If no other place in the world will find a way, Detroit will always find a way. But that does not keep me from feeling extreme worry about my neighbors and my friends and their future here in the city. But also this morning, I'm spending most of my time tutoring my neighbors on how to get on Zoom for our virtual Black Club meeting on Saturday. I asked my neighbors, did they want to still have a Black Club meeting this month? And they said, well, yeah, just teach us how to get on that Zoom thing. And so them how to get on that Zoom thing, and we're going to see what we can get accomplished on Saturday. I'm sure a lot of the meeting will be report outs on how they're doing, and I really want to hear that. And then we're going to spend what would typically be a 2-hour meeting. We're going to spend the second hour of that meeting calling all of our neighbors. We're going to split up our call list that we have and call our neighbors and check in on them and see if they need anything, if we can be resourceful for them in any way. So like that right there tells me that while I am worried about Detroit, I know Detroit is going to be okay.
Candace Fortman with Outlier Media. Candace, take care of yourself.
Thank you. Same to you.